You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Today, let's talk about fishing. You haven't tuned into the wrong podcast. This is not a podcast about fishing, but just for a minute, let's talk about fishing. Fishing is something I've always enjoyed doing, even as a small child. I remember when I was very young, my grandparents had a pond at the bottom of the street below their house. And that pond was, you couldn't call it quite a lake, but it was a sizable pond that was well stocked with fish. I think if I had thrown in just a hook with nothing on it, I could have pulled one up consistently. And they were nice sized fish. And so we would always go down when I was staying with my grandparents and go fishing in the pond. My grandfather would help us hook on the worm and toss it out there. And, you know, it was nice to be able to go fishing there because you pretty much guaranteed that you would catch a fish. When I got older, I got into some fly fishing, and my wife once sent me on a trip to fly fishing in West Virginia up in the mountains. We flew in. I remember as we crept over and onto this people's private property that had been stocking their stream for years, you could see the trout, and they were as long as the lower part of my arm. From my fingertips to my elbow, that was the size of a trout. They were huge trout. And I realized that day that I was not a great fisherman. As hard as I tried all that day thrashing the water, I caught a few, but the guide who was with me every now and then would get so frustrated with me that he would grab that fishing rod and catch his own fish because they were just waiting to be caught. I've spent a lot of time trying to figure out fishing, and here's the interesting thing about that. Everybody has an opinion about the best time to go fishing. You know, I was reading something on Facebook, my wife was showing it to me, where people were arguing about a local park near us, whether you should go in the morning. And some people thought that was the best time to fish, and other people felt like the best time to go fishing was in the evening. And then there were some who even said, oh no, midday is the time to go. And then should you go when the water's cold or when it's hot? Should you use live bait or artificial bait? Should you wade? Should you not? All of it was about how to go best in the fishing expedition. Which may raise the question for you of why I keep talking about fishing today. Well, I've noticed that many times people go on fishing expeditions with their spouse. When a marriage is in trouble, they start fishing. And they use lots of different bait, but they're fishing for their spouse. And the problem is they often get themselves into trouble while they're on these fishing expeditions. So what do I mean? That's when you're trying to get your spouse to bite. Now, interestingly, I've watched people try to get their spouse to bite the same kind of different ways you might treat a real fishing adventure. One way, if it's the right kind of fish, one way to get a fish to bite is to aggravate the fish. Bass are like that. They're aggressive. And so if you can aggravate the bass, it will sometimes strike. There are some saltwater game fish that are the same way. If you aggravate them, they will come after that lure just because they're aggravated about it. Not because they're hungry, but just because they're angry about it. So sometimes we go fishing with a spouse and try to kind of purposely goad them into being upset. The reason is because even being upset sometimes feels like connection. You know, if I could get some response from my spouse, then I'd feel better. And so they pick and pick and pick until a spouse explodes on them. And while it may be painful, it feels like there's some engagement there. Then there is the other type of fishing, which is because they want feedback. This is because they want love, right? You often want love to come their way. They want some way of feeling loved. And this is more like fishing for the trout, where it's a soft little touch there. And you got to toss it in the right spot. And you're trying to get that trout to bite because it wants that food. It's loving that food. It's, you know, it's kind of enticing them out of their hiding places behind the rocks or in the pools. And so sometimes we do that. So how do we do that? Well, if you've noticed, there are a couple of ways you can be loving towards a spouse. One is a way of giving it away, and the other is trying to get something back. For instance, if I look at my wife and I say, I love you, and that's it. Notice it's a closure to that, I love you. So I may call my wife, and I'm talking to her at the end, I'll just go, I love you, and I hang up. I'm not trying to get a response. But if I'm feeling kind of needy, I might say, hey, I love you. And you'll notice there's a question on the end of it. And what I'm wanting back is, oh, I love you too. It's called a bid. When scientists look at how couples are doing, when they research this, John Gottman has talked about this, it's about putting bids. So we're looking for whether a spouse gives us a bid. And so a spouse, if you're sitting out on the back porch and the spouse says, oh, look at that beautiful sky, that could be a bid for you to be in agreement about that beautiful sky. It has nothing to do with wanting you to see that. I've noticed that my wife often does this. There's something on TV that she thinks is interesting, and she'll kind of give me a bid to see if I'll join her in watching it. I'm not much of a TV person, so I have to be aware of that, because otherwise I'll be attuned to something else. Those are bids. So we do bids. So I love you because we want I love you back. Or we reach a hand out because we want a hand back. Here's the problem. Bids don't work very well when a relationship is in trouble. And what happens is, instead of doing that enticing of the fly that you might do for the trout, you start acting more like it's a bass, where you're kind of slapping the water around trying to get some response. So in the end, that feedback ends up being annoying to a spouse, and so you get an angry response back. So notice how a lot of the ways we show love and care can come across either as being a message to the other person or as an investigation. So a message, I love you, is different than an investigation, I love you. And it's very simply whether I'm trying to give or I'm trying to get. I'm trying to get some response, or I just am trying to give my message. Or how about a hug? Many people tell me about their struggle with, what do you do with a spouse, do I go up and hug my spouse? And my response is, it depends on what you're trying to do. If you're trying to get your spouse to hug you back, be aware of that, because now you're trying to get something. If you're trying to just give a hug, that's different. I talk about this in my one-way texting method. And a one-way text is designed explicitly to require nothing back from a spouse. I do the same thing with what my one-way emails and one-way cards, that they are attempts to get nothing back from a spouse, only to give the message, I'm thinking of you. I'm thinking about where you are in my life. I'm holding you in my thoughts, in my heart. And that is a message, not trying to get a response. What are you doing as a text is a response. When I text my son and say, hey, what are you doing? Are you available? I'm getting a response. Sometimes I'll say, hey, I hope the test goes well. I'm not looking for anything back. I just want him to know I'm thinking about that. Notice the difference in that. So part of what happens in these fishing expeditions is that we're trying to get the hook in. We're trying to get a response from a spouse. And so when we do that, we're trying to get information back, not give the message. This comes from insecurity. It comes from a place where we're trying to get that feedback. We're trying to get some reassurance of that. So remember to look at whether you're trying to engage a spouse or whether you're trying to get feedback from a spouse. The third thing I want you to notice in that is that this leads us back to that thing about reading tea leaves. I've got to be honest, I've talked with lots of fishermen and fisherwomen, fisher people. I've talked with people who are fishing a whole lot in my life. Sometimes I'm asking, hey, is anything biting? What are you using? Just out of curiosity. So I happen to know that everybody I talk to has an opinion about the best bait, the best time, the best way, the best cast, the best place, all those things. And guess what? They're all conjecture. In the end, I think we know very little about the best ways of fishing. It ends up being what worked for me last time. I mean, that's basically how we go fishing. And so if I drew any conclusion from that when I was a child going down to the pond that was so well stocked that they were practically jumping into my lap, I would think that the best thing to do was to do anything. But if I'm that person who is struggling and struggling and struggling to get that fish to strike, I start trying to draw on the last conclusions. Oh, should I fish out here or should I go towards that structure? Should I use this heavier bait or natural bait, or what should I do? Should I crank it faster, slower? Should I let it drop? Should I pull it up? And here's the thing. That's all reading tea leaves. That's all guessing at what might be the best way of fishing. And so notice that when you're fishing, part of what you're doing is trying to gather evidence to read the tea leaves. How did my spouse answer me? How did my spouse hug me? How did my spouse send me a text? How did my spouse, on and on it goes, because we're trying to use that as information. So reading tea leaves is the term I often use for what we do in the situations where we're trying to figure out what's going on in our spouse's head. And the reason is, it's real for me. It's not a term I came up with, but it feels very real to me because when I was a teenager, one of the things I did some fishing, but I also did lots of magic. And when you are a magician, you tend to have magician friends and other kind of odd friends around that. And some of my friends were the carnies that came into town. Some of the magicians would go to the carny and you know, kind of spend time with the carnies on the backside. And one of the women that came to our carnival every year was a woman who said she was a gypsy woman who read tea leaves. And I remember she believed that she truly could foretell the future. She was not just trying to get a buck from somebody, but she thought she was doing it. She would put some tea in her old cracked porcelain cup, and she'd pour some hot water in, and she would take a slurp and swirl it around, and she would look at the tea leaves and believe that what she was seeing in those tea leaves would tell her something, because she was looking at patterns. Now, sometimes we are accurate when we're trying to look at patterns. It helps us to understand things, but it's a dangerous proposition when you're working on a marriage because you spend so much time reading tea leaves that you don't spend a lot of time acting upon it. You don't spend a lot of time figuring out your plan and moving forward, and many times the tea leaves will throw you off because maybe you assumed that that response you got from your spouse was because your spouse was angry at you, not just upset with the world. So we begin to respond to those tea leaves in ways that aren't necessarily accurate. Let me bring up another piece that I think is important. Gary Chapman and I, when I interviewed Gary Chapman, who is the author of The Five Love Languages, he and I talked about the love challenge. In the love challenge, the task is not to try to hook your spouse. It's not to go fishing for your spouse. It's to show your spouse love for an extended period of time. He and I both suggest 6 months of that time where you're not looking for your needs to be met, but you're looking to meet the love needs, the love language of your spouse. And for those 6 months, you're not trying to get feedback. You're trying to fill the love tank of your spouse. You can't ignore it if your spouse says, hey, stop doing that. But you don't want to be looking for feedback. You don't want to be waiting for the love to come your way. You want to be showing that love. And I think that's an interesting way of framing this as something you're doing towards the other person, something you're trying to get back. Which brings me to my next point, that this is about giving. Remember that disconnection starts when we go from what can I give to this relationship to when we start asking, what can I get from this relationship? And every marriage that gets into trouble asks that very question. They say, what can I get? And I'll tell you when it changes. Not long after you say, I do. Up until then, you're saying, you know, I want to give to this relationship. In the early days of a relationship, all you're doing is trying to give more and more and more to get more and more love into the relationship. You're trying to put it in there. And then suddenly you're saying, hey, what can I get out of this? And so this is an intentional attempt to stop fishing so that you can be giving. It's more like you're giving the fish food than trying to hook with that fish food. And so think about the change. You go from trying to cast the food on the water instead of trying to hook the fish in that. And then watch your energy. Notice whether you're releasing energy towards the other person or whether you're trying to draw it back. If you find that you're going on fishing expeditions, it's time to stop. It's time to build your plan. It's time to decide that the question for you to ask is, what can I put into this relationship? How can I make my spouse feel loved? What can I do to move towards my spouse, to move energy towards my spouse, rather than trying to get my spouse toward me? No more fishing. Think about better ways of doing this. Make sure you check out the other resources. I'll have a link to Gary Chapman's interview with me, which also has a link to that whole article that you can download on how to do that love challenge. That will be in the show notes. Whatever you do, no more fishing. no fishing allowed.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.